All right, welcome to the Friday post game. Today it's me, Steve-O, here with
Amir
Nikui. You guys have seen Amir here before, but just in case you're a new member, Amir, tell them who you are.
I'm a producer at the Young Turks. I produce Pop Trigger, What the Flick, and Murder with Friends.
That's right, but you're underselling yourself. He's an excellent producer. And secondly, I like working with Amir, so I do special projects with him. And for those who don't know who I am, I'm the chief business officer. I'm a longtime friend of Jenks and an executive here at TYT. I like working with Amir because he's smart, he's hardworking, and he's working with me on a bunch of projects where we develop new shows and new concepts for sale to other platforms and other outlets. So, you know, we did one with Verizon Go 90 that involves John Adarola going to the Arctic and exploring and doing all kinds of cool experiments with scientists. And Amir and I are working on a few other projects similar to that for other platforms. So you'll see a lot more of Amir. I want our fans to know how important he is to our company. So that's him. So we're missing Dave Kohler today.
Yeah.
And Malcolm Fleischner. They'll be here probably next week.
Yeah.
But we have other things that we want to talk about with you guys. But before we get there, I just want to note the beautiful background.
It's wonderful. It's so appropriate and relevant right now.
We don't get to see this a lot in California or ever at all, for that matter. But Amir, did you ever live anywhere in America where you can witness this and feel this?
I grew up in green old Michigan, Ann Arbor, Michigan, aka Tree City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I got a lot of this. We were talking about it before the show started.
Yeah, and I went to college in upstate New York and lived in New Jersey. So this is the one time of year that I miss the East Coast.
Yeah, and you smell it in the air.
Yeah.
You really do when you step out and it's fall time.
Yeah, it's actually the smell of autumn that I miss more than even the foliage.
Yeah.
It just feels like there's a change.
Yeah.
Right? And that change feels good. In California, I mean, it's weird to cry about constant sunshine, but it feels monotonous at times.
It
right?
does.
Like, I look forward to rainstorms and
when you grow up in seasons like that, you actually start to miss it after living somewhere that has no seasons.
Yeah. So, I want to talk about a couple of things. The more important stuff we'll get to later, but first I'll talk about my weekend. So I have three daughters, for those who don't know, and I like to make each one feel really special. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I take one of them on a father-daughter trip somewhere, and they can bring their best friend, and we'll invite the best friend's dad. So like a nice little like father-daughter type of trip. And this weekend I took my youngest one, and we went up to Portland. Mm-hmm. The other dad, his name is David also, he has a friend up in Portland who's been living there for a long time. So we met up with that friend, and the friend is a completely different lifestyle than our life here in LA. So the friend, he's a school teacher, mm-hmm. so he doesn't make a ton of money. He has a modest home in Portland, but his yard is awesome. Mm-hmm. So he has every single kind of fruit tree, every kind of like squash and peppers and tomatoes and everything.
It sounds so Portland already.
Yeah, he raises these chickens. And you know, he's got a great life. Mm-hmm. And his wife is a personal trainer. They're both super fit and they hike everywhere. Mm-hmm. All the trails and they know all the local vegetation. So they were like our guides on a big hike that we did. And they're pointing out berries and you know what you can eat, what you can't eat. And it was awesome. And then, you know, they're super handy. Mm-hmm. So they took their very modest home and they made it really nice. Mm-hmm. So they built out like this whole downstairs part. They created this unbelievable like playhouse for their daughter. You could rent that out as like an Airbnb. it's so good. And then they also built a spa, not a spa, like a sauna inside their house. And my friend and I were just thinking like, there's another way of doing this.
Yeah.
You know, there's another way of living your life that's so different from what feels like a rat race here in LA. Like you know, my wife and I, we work, and we send our kids to private school, and I feel guilty about that because that takes money out of the public school system. That's a ton of money, and you know, I feel like we make a lot, but we spend a lot, and it's never enough, and we're in this like hamster wheel.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, these folks make a lot less, but they seem to have a lot more. They certainly have a lot more leisure time. And it's kind of cool that we're walking through the woods and they know every single tree. Yeah. You know, like that's a spruce, that's a deciduous fir or whatever it is. I don't know.
It goes to show how subjective all of our problems and our issues really are. Because we do live in a bubble in Los Angeles.
We do.
And you go outside of here and there's people out there living their lives and they don't worry about the same things that we do. We don't worry about the things that they do at the same time, but it's really fascinating. And like when you explain this, it reminds me of me growing up in Michigan. That's what a lot of the people in Michigan were like too.
Yeah, and then you know, one of those days we went to the local farmer's market and it was spectacular. Yeah. Like all the vegetables there seem vibrant.
Yeah.
They weren't just green, they're like super green. They weren't just red, they're like super red. And everything looks so fresh and clean. And you know, local bakeries would come and you know sell their stuff. And I don't know, it was just a weekend. So I'm not sure if you lived there all the time, it wouldn't seem so magical. But yeah. it was really wonderful, and I love Portland. Jimmy Dore is doing a show up there on November 12th, so I might try to sneak up there and check it out. But I don't know, it made me kind of like rethink city life, and you know. I don't know. It just like, well, what is the point?
Right? You've lived in a city all your life, or how long you've been living in the city, big city?
Since I lived in LA since I was 22, so like 25 years I've been in LA or New York. Mm-hmm. Part of that 25 years I was in New York City, mm-hmm. so it was New York or LA for those 25 years. Before that, I lived in the suburbs of New Jersey, just suburban sprawl. But I really like Portland. So if you live in Portland, if you live in the Pacific Northwest, congratulations. It's great up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then that ties into what we're going to get into in a second. They own guns, these people. They're like libs.
Of course they do.
Yeah, they're libs, very social justice conscience mm-hmm. and all of that. But they do have guns, and they use the guns because they sometimes go like way outside of the city to hunt things and mm-hmm. that's what they do.
So they actually hunt.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's not surprising to me at all.
Yeah,
I grew
not
up the same way.
Yeah.
I grew up with guns.
Okay.
My dad is an immigrant to this country, immigrated in the 70s, but all of his friends were Americans, and that's what they would do in the Midwest. You go, when you're on vacation, you go hunting with the guys. So my dad got into it early on when he immigrated here, and after that he purchased his first gun, and then he started collecting after that.
What animals did he hunt?
Deer.
So he would kill a deer and he would just gut it and take it apart?
Or he's not like that big of a hunter, but the people that he was with, they would field dress the deer. That's what they call it, field dressing.
Yeah, I there's no way.
He loved it. And he would come back, he would have a bunch of meat with him.
Yeah.
And we'd
eat to eat the meat, but I can't dress it.
Yeah.
By the way, I love how it's called dressing the deer.
Yeah.
You're kind of undressing it. All right, so Irma, do we have the graphic, the intro for Totally True, Totally Bullshit? Let's roll it. The first time rolling that.
You really like that.
Yeah, I love the graphic. It's the first time we're rolling it without Malcolm here. Where's it? This is so. You've never seen the graphic?
No, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a graphic that Malcolm put together.
Like Rush Hour 4.
Yeah. Roll it again, Irma. I want to see it again. Amir loves it. So we always do the segment with Dave.
Yeah.
And you know, Dave's name is not in it.
Yeah.
And Malcolm and I try to goad him into caring, but Dave doesn't care. He's like, I don't care.
Would he care if his name was in it?
Maybe if we start with his name being in it and then take it out, he would care.
Yeah.
But it was never in from the very beginning, so he doesn't care. But the way the way this is played is that someone proffers some sort of supposition.
Okay.
And then you just say whether it's totally true or totally bullshit. There's just no nuance. It's one or the other. And then we explain in deep nuance terms why,
I like it.
Why it is. So the totally true, totally bullshit question I have for you is this. In the aftermath of the tragedy in Las Vegas this week,
mm-hmm.
When I think 59 people were killed and 490 or 500 or so people were injured, we will finally have some kind of meaningful legislation to curb gun violence in this country.
Totally bullshit. Not with this administration.
Okay, explain.
We have Republicans running this shit right now. Like, that's what's going to change? when we had a Democrat in office who's like supposedly pro gun control, Newtown happened, and we didn't get any meaningful gun legislation then. So I just don't see how anything's going to happen now. Maybe some things like the silencer bill that's in effect right now, maybe that's going to get scrapped or just kicked down the road a little bit. But we're not going to pass on a federal level anything that's going to be meaningful.
Yeah, this question is too easy. Of course you're right, it's totally bullshit. Nothing's going to happen. When 20 first graders were murdered, nothing happened.
Yeah.
When 49 people were murdered in Orlando last year, nothing happened. Nothing's going to happen this time. But the only reason why I have a tiny, tiny glimmer of hope is that this one is a little bit different. And here's what I mean by that. This one isn't as localized. So Newtown was a Newtown tragedy. Pulse was an Orlando tragedy. This one isn't just a Vegas tragedy because there's so many tourists there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like right here in LA, there are a number of people who are impacted personally by some of the deaths that occurred.
Right.
So this is gonna hopefully go back to all corners of the country and maybe start a national dialogue around this issue more so than the other ones did.
Look, maybe
it's a faint hope, I know, but it's something.
The best thing that I could see happening is on a state level, there could be some changes, but you're talking about California, which already has the strictest gun laws in the country, mm-hmm. some of the strictest gun laws. Like the bump stock that the shooter used, it's illegal in California. Mm-hmm. Most other states, it's totally legal. Right. But what I'm hoping to see is maybe some of these changes will happen to states that historically have very lax gun laws. Even then, like, I don't know. Start with the whole gun shows that they do. Nevada has some of the biggest, craziest gun shows. And that's kind of a talking point that we've heard less about over the last 10 years. It was really popular to talk about that after Columbine happened, for instance. And people were going to gun shows and were like, wow, you can get a machine gun from a gun show easily.
I know. So meaningful difference, I think that's not going to happen. But little things in the fringe, I think will happen. So that thing, that bump stock or whatever it is, that converts a semi-automatic to an automatic, I think that goes away. I don't know if it'll be outright banned, but a lot of stores will just stop carrying it. So like Walmart stopped carrying it, some sporting goods stores stopped carrying it, and maybe it just becomes like a little giveaway by the gun.
Look, I'm a huge supporter of the Second Amendment. I love guns. I grew up shooting guns, and I wish I could continue to, but since I moved to California, I just haven't done it. At the same time, I think it should be so fucking hard to get guns in the first place.
Yeah.
And as someone who loves guns, who wants to be able to get guns, like I'm totally fine with them saying like, okay, if you want a gun, you have to wait 6 months. You have to wait a year to get it. Okay, that's fine, I'll wait. What is this whole thing? Like I need to be able to get my gun off Amazon, that mentality where it's like, it needs to be so accessible that like anyone can get it.
So the thing that I want to focus on, because this gun epidemic, you know, on the show earlier this week, Cenk talked about it. 33,000 people die from gun violence in this country.
It's insane.
70,000 people are injured by guns in this country. That's literally a war, right? Yeah. I mean, we are at war with ourselves. We are killing ourselves with guns. Now, a lot of that is suicides, but a lot of that is just accidents and heat of the moment situation. Some of it is justifiable homicide where you're protecting yourself for someone else, but a lot of that is not. So, I mean, I think net, we're safer without guns as a country than with guns.
Yeah.
That said, I understand that if it were up to me, I push a button, all guns are gone. Mm-hmm. You can't have it, sorry. But I get that's not realistic, mm-hmm. and I understand that's not up to me, and I appreciate that other people's desires on this issue matter. Mm-hmm. So it's not, I get it. So you wanna have guns, fine. But I would make it, like you said, very difficult. One, waiting period. Okay, so we gotta wait it out. Number two, I would just outright ban a whole bunch of guns.
Because you don't need them.
That's right.
We don't need them. Just because they're fun and it's cool to shoot them like you're in the movies, that's not an excuse.
There's a difference between a person's right to own a gun to protect himself or herself. I get that part. But there is no right for gun manufacturers to sell every gun that they want, whenever they want, unfettered. Okay, there is no right to that. Yeah. They don't have the right to sell machine guns. They don't have the right to sell guns that are armor piercing.
That, ARs that are meant to kill human beings. That's what they're intended to do.
So they don't have, that's not a constitutional right. Yeah. You do not have a constitutional right to sell every kind of gun under the sun, mm-hmm. whatever your imagination comes up with. And because the gun industry is intent on selling more guns for more profit, they keep coming out with bigger, faster, stronger, more powerful guns. And they market it, and they make it seem like, well, you'll be even safer with this gun that shoots 100 bullets a minute instead of just 20 bullets a minute, or whatever it may be, right? So
they peddle fear, and then they sell you the cure for that.
So unchecked, what we're gonna have 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, are gonna be these ridiculous guns that can kill 1,000 people in an hour.
They're already here, man.
Right? They're already here.
They're already here.
But it's going to get worse and worse because, and that's my point. We're looking at the issue of gun control from the prism of the rights of gun owners. Mm-hmm. I grant that people have the right to own a gun. What I don't agree with is a gun manufacturer's right to sell whatever gun that they want.
Yeah.
And I want that limited. So I would ban all assault weapons. And we'll have a national assault weapon buyback program. Mm-hmm. So we buy it all.
Like in Australia.
Yeah. You can keep it if you want, but it's rendered inoperable. Yeah. So you plug up the chamber so it can't contain bullets and shoot or whatever. I would also make it a strict liability. If you own a gun and someone uses that gun to commit a crime, you're hooked. You're on the hook for it. So you pay a fine and you might have to even go to jail. So if you buy a gun, you better damn well make sure that gun is safely tucked away. So, you know, for these parents who leave their gun sitting around and their kids grab it and shoot someone, they're liable. You know, in this country, every single week we have like 50 to 100 shootings by toddlers. People under the age of 5 are getting their hands on guns and shooting other people, siblings, parents, whoever else.
Can you imagine?
It's unacceptable.
I think France has posted this. It's a stat. Like, I don't have actually if it's true or not, but something along the lines of more Americans have died of gun violence since the 60s than all Americans have ever died in all of the wars America has been involved in combined since the Revolutionary War. Yeah. Think about that.
It's stunning. And I can't believe we don't have the political will to do anything about it, even to this day. So this is my iPhone. Mm-hmm. You can't use this iPhone. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because it requires a little thumbprint, mm-hmm. okay? Which is the exact same technology for guns. So two things on guns. If I buy a gun after passing all the background checks, if someone takes my gun and uses it, I'm on the hook for it. Mm-hmm. Gun manufacturers should also be required to put in this safety mechanism so that the person who has registered that gun is the only person that can use it.
Right.
So you have to put your thumbprint or some biometric way of making it so that it's inoperable in any other way. These are requirements and restrictions that do not impinge on your Second Amendment right.
Right.
It makes guns safer, makes our society safer.
But these gun manufacturers, that's gonna hurt their bottom line.
That's the only thing. They have
to pay more money to make the same amount of guns? No way. We're gonna lobby and we're gonna make sure that doesn't happen.
That's exactly right. And to me, that is the biggest problem in our gun debate. It is all about the rights of gun manufacturers, not about gun owners. Because most gun owners really want more restrictions.
Look, these responsible gun owners, they need to organize, they need to make a new NRA. Like this NRA that's here, you can't rely on them. They're not actually there because they love the Second Amendment or anything. It's totally corrupt.
Yeah, it's to augment sales of guns.
We need to get the people that still love their guns, but they also believe in regulations because they love this country, to come together and make something new that's gonna replace the NRA.
And that's the thing, like every other right is restricted in some way.
Driving,
and,
for instance.
And everyone knows it. Like the First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, they all have restrictions, okay? So if my religion is to go around stabbing people in the eye, I can't practice that religion, okay? Sorry, mm-hmm. sad day for me. Speech, like I can't lie to you, about some contractual issue. Mm-hmm. Why not? I can say whatever I want, right? But if I say this glass of water has a cure for cancer, give me $1,000, well, that's a lie, right? Mm-hmm. But I can't say it because that's freedom of speech, I could argue. Libel, slander, commercial speech, mm-hmm. and even political speech can be restricted in terms of time, place, and manner.
Right.
Right. I can't go up to your face and into from your face and scream in your face.
Yeah.
Well, that's speech. So we get it. Like, there are restrictions to every single kind of freedom that we have. Otherwise, without any restrictions, then there are no freedoms. It's just chaos. So when it comes to the Second Amendment, of course we have restrictions. I'm not allowed to own chemical weapons, nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. I'm not allowed to have bio weapons. Yeah. I can't have a hose mm-hmm. where I can shoot VX nerve agents at people.
You can't have a flamethrower.
Right. So clearly there are limits to arms because mm-hmm. the Second Amendment never mentions guns. It just mentions arms, mm-hmm. right? So why are guns magically insulated from every restriction?
I think it comes down to the money at the end of the day. These manufacturers, they go back to the beginning of this country and they're big and they're powerful. And we have government contracts with them and there's a relationship there that's to the powers that be, it's too important.
Yeah, so
It's too difficult.
I have a plan.
Yeah.
I have a plan. My plan is to I know the lawyers who took down the tobacco industry. Mm-hmm. And they're gonna go after the opioid manufacturers, mm-hmm. The pharmaceuticals that are basically turning parts of our country into zombie land. I talked to those guys. I said, you have to find a way to go after the gun manufacturers and the ammunition manufacturers.
Yeah.
And it's not to put them out of business. It's not to take away guns from people. But it's to force them to have smart, decent, sensible regulations.
Yeah.
So if someone is amassing thousands and thousands and thousands of rounds of ammunition, there should be some sort of warning system, right? So the weapons sellers, they should be able to talk to one another through some sort of database or whatever it may be, so that if Amir is going from one place to the next buying up thousands of rounds of ammunition, well, that should be a red flag to someone. Like, mm-hmm. what the fuck is this guy doing?
Yeah.
Right? What good is our surveillance state if we can't even keep track of someone like this Vegas shooter that amassed however thousands of rounds and dozens and dozens of guns? Like, people like that should be on some sort of like watch list.
Right.
Anyway, everyone in the gun manufacturing stack should be held accountable for the violence that are wrought from these guns.
Yeah, and it's only gonna get worse. That's the terrible part.
I agree with you.
We're at a point where people in this country fucking hate each other. Like, for whatever reason it may be, whether it's political or not, like, I think like things like this show, it's been getting worse over the past 25 years.
Yeah, the other thought that I had is that maybe, as our technology improves and 3D printers become, better and better, and there's a way to just 3D print your own gun.
They already do that.
I know, but if they do that at a mass scale, it becomes a threat mm-hmm. to gun manufacturers. The gun manufacturers themselves
then
might come around and say, we need regulation.
Right.
We can't have people just making whatever guns they want. We need to have regulation, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe there's some sort of weird or strange bedfellows at that point where gun manufacturers come onto the side of, gun control advocates.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have a gun now? Do you own a gun?
I have a shotgun.
You do?
Yeah. No ammunition.
You're licensed to?
Yeah.
Have you shot animals? Have you shot things?
No, I've only been in the shooting range. And I haven't been.
Are you good?
In probably, yeah.
I do like shoot ski shooting, that kind of stuff?
No, mostly handguns. I've only done skeet shoot once with my shotgun, but my dad has guns. He like started collecting handguns at some point and we would go to the shooting range in Michigan often.
So I've been shooting twice, mm-hmm. Both times at gun ranges. And there's something inherently cool about doing something over here that results in something way over there, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's something cool, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same reason why we like to take a flashlight and shine it all around far away. Mm-hmm. It's the same reason why we like to throw things and all that. Like, I get it. There's something intuitively interesting about that and powerful. Mm-hmm. Here's what I did not like about the guns. They're unbelievably loud.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm in favor of silencers. They're so loud.
You don't consider that when you watch the movies. You're like, oh, gunshots. But when you actually shoot one, it's deafeningly loud.
Yeah, yeah.
You need ear protection.
And the kick was way stronger than I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. And I was terrible. I couldn't hit my target at all. It was a handgun.
Yeah, you're probably pulling the gun back out of anticipation of pulling the trigger. That's usually what beginners do. Mm-hmm. Like, because you know that's going to make like a big blast. So you instinctively go like this when you shoot. You got to just take a deep breath and just pull the trigger, squeeze the trigger.
Yeah, and then one of our friends, this is in Vegas, actually. We went to gun range.
That's what most people go there to go shooting. Yeah.
And he got, he goes, I want the gun that shoots the most number of bullets. And they're like, yeah, I got this one for you. And he just give it to him. And my friend's he's a fucking klutz.
Yeah.
So he's like, and he's like just shooting up the ceiling. It was bad. I was like, this is.
Yeah, you know, it's like, it's so scary how little people know about gun safety. These same people that are huge advocates for the Second Amendment and like guns, they don't know shit about safety about it.
Yeah, the other thing that I would require is just like with a car, you gotta get trained.
Yeah.
You gotta have insurance.
And guess what? You can't drive any car on public roads. Yeah. Like there's a limit. Like cars have to be like, okay, this car is okay to drive on a road. You can't just take a race car out in the middle of the road. Just like you shouldn't be able to have a machine gun.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, certain things you just can't have.
Yeah.
So here's what I'm afraid of with this guy. I'm afraid of copycats.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid of what this is going to do to our civil liberties for other concerts and other outdoor events.
Look, man, like me and Irina, we love to go to music festivals. Yep. That's one of our favorite things to do. She does not want to go to music festivals anymore. She's like, I don't want to be in like big crowds. And I'm kind of like, okay, these things, like statistically, they happen so little. Mm-hmm. And I know it's scary, and that's how terrorism works. Someone does this, and then you're afraid to live your life after that. But,
well,
yeah, when you talk
it
about
it, cuts both ways, because statistically, the chance of you being shot is actually not that small. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's much bigger than getting killed by a terrorist.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, when you talk about freedoms, you have to talk about all the freedoms and the impact that one freedom has on the other. Mm-hmm. And one of the freedoms that we have in this country is that you feel like it's a safe place. It's a country of laws. And when you go somewhere, you're not gonna have the government just beat you up and whisk you away. If someone else does it, there's recourse, there's infrastructure in place. And even that is being eroded little by little with the police brutality and all of this other stuff. But when you have a nation awash in guns, and then you add in the incredible partisanship and the anger that's being fueled, the level of distrust, and even from the president of the United States, the sitting president, the way he labels a certain group of people as murderers and rapists and terrorists, and creating these divisions, calling some people sons of bitches who should be fired. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of anger and distrust being fomented. And then you give out all these guns, and you create this fear that at any moment that something's gonna go crazy, and you need to arm yourself too.
Yeah,
that's a recipe for disaster. Mm-hmm. And by, you know, so-called increasing our Second Amendment right for us to all have these powerful weapons, we're decreasing the other freedoms that we have, like to peacefully assemble. You can't peacefully assemble at these music festivals because you're scared of being shot.
Yeah,
so it's. Yeah,
we have a long road ahead of us.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fighting.
Yeah. All right, so that's it for this week. To the members, as always, thank you so much. You guys are awesome. Without you, we can't be who we are. So thanks for your support. Thanks for watching. Next week, David and Malcolm will be back.